Let's pray. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, as we gather this Memorial Day weekend, Father, help us to remember with gratitude those who gave their lives in service to this country. Lord, turn our hearts toward the greater sacrifice of Jesus, who laid down his life so that we could be forgiven and set free. Lord, teach us today to honor sacrifice, to receive grace, and to live with humility, courage, and love. Holy Spirit, open our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us this morning. Push me so far out of the way and speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, well, good morning again. Happy Memorial Day weekend. It's not Veterans Day weekend, in case anybody was curious, right? Completely different, right? In the military community circles, there's actually a pretty interesting kind of situation that happens, you know, when it's like Memorial Day weekend, and you know, people are like, oh, I need to go get my discount at Golden Corral or whatever. I know we don't have one of those here, but you know, then people will just get hammered because it's not about them, right? It's about those who came before us, those who died on the battlefield, right? Those who sacrificed, given the ultimate sacrifice for you and for me, so we could do this, right? So we could worship freely in a free country without any type of fear of, you know, reprisal or you know, sanctions or anything like that. Like, we can do all those things because of the men and the women who have died on the battlefield, or, you know, in the hospital after, you know, after being injured on the battlefield. It doesn't matter. They died protecting this country, and that's really what today is all about. That's what Memorial Day is about. It's not about those who served or are serving. It's about those who have given it all for you and for me. So that's what we are going to honor today. You know, it's a day that we pause and remember their sacrifice. You know, and maybe you're like me, and you know, you have moments, generally speaking, like every day, and you just kind of stop and pause, even for just a few seconds, and think about and remember the people who've died on the battlefield, right? And honestly, thankfully, I'm grateful that I don't know anybody personally who's died on the battlefield. I have a slew of friends who have been blown up on the battlefield, but praise God, they're still with us. But that's not the case for a lot of people, right? That's not a case for a whole bunch of folks who have, you know, missing a husband, a mother, a father, a wife, a sister, a brother, an aunt, uncle. It doesn't matter. Somebody somewhere out there is missing somebody who has given the ultimate sacrifice. And for Christians, really, Memorial Day should point us to something pretty significant as well, right? The ultimate sacrifice when we look at the cross and what Jesus has done for us. You know, you saw in the video, John chapter 15, verse 13, which says, no one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. So when you think of Memorial Day, really, you think that verse kind of hits a little bit differently, right? Because, I mean, you can think of it as, you know, in a military context, like, yeah, that is a huge deal. You know, this man or this woman gave their life for me and for you. And then we think of what Jesus did for us and for all of us, for the entire humanity dying on the cross for us. That's what real love is, because real love gives, right? Real love is just, it's the magnitude of it is something, it costs something, the love that we're talking about. So we're going to honor the sacrifice of those who have fallen. And Memorial Day really reminds us, first thing is that we need to remember. You know, it sounds simple enough, right, to remember, but it's actually a pretty significant biblical thing here. When we look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, Moses tells Israel, "Remember that the Lord your God led you on the entire journey these 40 years into the wilderness so that he might humble you and test you and know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands." And then Psalm 103, verse 2, David says, "My soul, bless the Lord and do not forget all his benefits." So why does God continuously tell his people to remember? Because we're terrible at it. We're forgetful, right? We forget things all the time, right? Like, I don't even remember what I did like 3 hours ago. I'm not even kidding, right? We're forgetful. So God reminds us to remember. And he continuously reminds us to remember. We forget what others endured so we could stand where we stand, so we could worship where we worship. We forget things like that. That's why memorials matter, right? That's why it's important to pause and recognize the sacrifice that others made so we can live in this country that we love so deeply. And as we said, Jesus said, "No one has greater love than this to lay down his life for his friends." And those who died for our country displayed that kind of love, right? They displayed that. Like, that is just the ultimate sacrifice that they could have given. They gave something much bigger than themselves, right? They gave their lives for us. It doesn't mean every war is simple. Doesn't mean that every political decision is right or perfect. It doesn't mean that we confuse the love of country with the worship of the country, because we always, always, always have to point everything to Jesus. That is where our allegiance must stay and always be, is at Jesus Christ. And Philippians chapter 3 says, "Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly wait for a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." But heavenly citizenship doesn't make us ungrateful for earthly freedoms, right? So we understand where, as followers of Jesus, we know where we're going, but that doesn't mean that we can't be grateful for what we have here on earth right now. We can say thank you. We can also say, Jesus is Lord, and we can say thank you for the freedoms that we have in this country all in the same sentence. It's okay, right? Because we're still pointing to Jesus for everything. Romans 13, 7 says, "Pay your obligations to everyone, taxes to those you owe taxes, tolls to those you owe tolls, respect to those you owe respect, and honor to those you owe honor." Today, honor is due. Honor is due for those that gave the ultimate sacrifice. And as part of this, we also have to look at the sacrifice of Jesus and what Jesus has done for us. You know, again, we're going to look at John 15, 13. I mean, that's kind of like the linchpin of today's message, right? Is no one has greater love than this to lay down his life for his friends. Now, here's the amazing truth about that. Jesus didn't wait until we were worthy friends to lay down his life for us. He did it. Even though we're all a bunch of sinners, he still laid down his life. He didn't wait for us to be perfect. No, he laid down his life for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 7 and 8 says, "For rarely will someone die for a just person, though for a good person, perhaps someone might even dare to die. But God proves his own love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So he didn't die for us because we were lovable. Right? He didn't die for us because we were lovable. He died for us because he is love. Because he is love. That's huge. He didn't go to the cross because we had earned any type of rescue. He went to the cross because we needed a Savior. We needed a Savior. because we were helpless without him. You ever try to do anything really significant in your life without Jesus? You know how helpless you can be. Philippians chapter 2 says, adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. So think about that. Jesus is eternal God. He's the Son of God. He's holy, righteous, perfect. He's glorious. He's this amazing person, yet he humbled himself and he went to the cross. He was beaten, wore the crown of thorns. He did all these. He took on flesh for you and for me. Completely undeserving grace and mercy and sacrifice, and yet he still did it. He did it willingly. Same is true for those who died on the battlefield. They did it willingly. And nobody took Jesus by surprise. Nobody overpowered him. Nothing. John chapter 10 says, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the right to lay it down, and I have the right to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. So the cross wasn't an accident. It was the mission. It was the mission. Isaiah 53 says, but he was pierced because of our rebellion, crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was on him, and we are healed by his wounds. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. We were healed by his wounds. He laid down his life for us, not merely as an example of love, but for a substitute for us sinners. He went to the cross as our substitute. That's huge. Philippians 2 doesn't end with death. And go to chapter 2, verse 9, it says, for this reason God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name. So the crucified Savior is now the risen and exalted King. Amen. Amen indeed. The one who wore the crown of thorns now wears what? The crown of glory. He did all of this for us, right? He sacrificed himself for us. And as we remember the fallen on the battlefield and beyond the battlefield, we also remember and honor the sacrifice of our Savior Jesus Christ. Because his sacrifice brings us salvation. So big, so huge. And the third thing we do is we give honor where it's due. Romans chapter 13, we've already went over this. Pay your obligations to everyone, taxes to those you owe taxes, tolls to those you owe tolls, and respect to those you owe respect, and honor to those you owe honor. Now again, this is deeply biblical, right, of what we're doing today. Honor isn't a political issue. It says it right here in the Bible. It's a spiritual issue, and God's people should show gratitude, right? Like, we can't be here today. I can't be preaching from the Word of God today if a whole bunch of people before me, before you, died for the freedoms that we so deeply cherish. It would be literally impossible for me, for us to even be here, if people hadn't died. So we can show that gratitude. We must show that gratitude. We really shouldn't just show it on, you know, a long weekend, right? We should show it all the time. You know, we live in a culture that's very quick to criticize, really quick to make things a political issue, or maybe not want to honor something that deserves honor. We can tear down things easily or mock things extraordinarily quickly. That's not what we do as followers of Jesus. We can't forget frequently. Scripture calls us to be different. 1 Timothy chapter 5 says, "For the scripture says, do not muzzle an ox while it's treading out in the grain, and the worker is worthy of his wages." So in other words, biblical principle that faithful service should be recognized, so that those who have given so much shouldn't be casually dismissed, right? So the people who have died, Jesus, who has died for us, should be honored always. We can't repay those who have died protecting the freedoms that we cherish today. We can't bring them home. We can't undo the grief for their family. You know, if you've ever been in that situation, you try to say the right things, you try to do the right things, but, you know, there's really nothing that you can say and very little that you can do that is going to take away the deep pain that people feel when they lose somebody. But we can speak with gratitude. We can speak with gratitude for what their loved one has done for us. We can teach the next generation of where this freedom is that we cherish so deeply. We can teach them where it came from. We can tell stories. We can explain to our children and grandchildren why Memorial Day matters. So important that they understand that. So before you have a cookout, before you eat, pause and pray. Pray with a prayer of thanksgiving and gratitude for what not only Jesus did, but for what those who have, you know, died on the battlefield have done for us as well. Before you enjoy the freedom, remember the cost. Remember the cost. If you ever walk through a military cemetery, you know, you see a lot. If it's a military cemetery, all the headstones are the same, right? There's one in Bismarck that is pretty significant. They're all the same, right? And you can walk through there and just passively just look at all the things and you can recognize, you know, like things are in very particular order. There's like the distance between things is there for a reason. There's a whole lot of, like, I don't know, engineering, I guess, for lack of a better term, in regards to these cemeteries. But if you just look, you just see a bunch of white headstones. But then when you stop at one, and you'll read a name. You'll see a name, and whatever the name is. And generally speaking, it'll have their branch of service. And oftentimes, it'll have what conflict they were part of. Right? So as you walk through this cemetery kind of passively, the magnitude of it might not hit you until you stop and until you read a name on one of those headstones. And then you realize that this person was perhaps somebody's husband or wife, son or daughter, father or mother. Like, this person had a story, and this person now lay here in this cemetery, having given the ultimate sacrifice for the freedoms that we so deeply cherish. Every name has a story. Every name in those cemeteries has a story. Every single one of them has a family. Every single one of them has given up their life for you and for me to enjoy the freedoms that we have in this country. That's why remembrance matters. So if you ever find yourself walking through an actual national military veterans cemetery, stop and read the names and recognize that these people have a story, and they have a family, and it's not just somebody who just happened to die in a combat zone or whatever. No, this person has a story. This person has a family. They were a husband or a wife or a father or mother. They have a story, and be grateful. Be grateful for their sacrifice. A nation that forgets sacrifice becomes careless with freedom. And that is something we cannot be. A church that forgets sacrifice becomes careless with grace. So we can't forget what Jesus did on the cross. Because we don't want to be careless with the grace that he's given us or the grace that we are able to give other people. So we honor the fallen, not by worshiping them, but by remembering them rightly. We honor them by thanking God for their courage. We honor them by caring for the families who still grieve and by praying for those who still serve. And we, of course, honor them by being a grateful people. And the final thing is we are called to live sacrificially. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should seek not to his own interest, but rather to the interests of others." That is not always easy, right? That's not always easy. We live in a world where, you know, they always say, put yourself first, do this for yourself, whatever. Protect your comfort or chase your happiness. And very rarely have I ever heard somebody say, man, you really need to take care of somebody else before you take care of yourself. Jesus says, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Luke 9:23 says, "Then he said to them all, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me." That means do the hard stuff. Follow him. Follow him and do what he says before, you know, all the desires and wants that you have. No, first you need to take up your cross and follow Jesus. That is the important thing. You know, Christian life is not a life of selfish comfort, but it is one of surrendered obedience. Surrendered obedience to Jesus. Now, a lot of us, most of us, probably at least with the exception of those two. I don't know what your guys' plans are. Majority of us, I know everybody in the middle section and most of the people over here, perhaps over here too, military service might not be in the cards. So we might not find ourselves in that particular window where we are called upon by our nation to ultimately give our life. But we always have to be grateful. We always have to be grateful for the sacrifice that those who have gone before us have done. We lay down our lives when we forgive somebody who hurts us. This is what we can do for those of us who are no longer, you know, kind of in that military window, right? This is how we honor. We lay down our lives. This is how we lay down our lives. We lay down our lives when we forgive somebody who hurts us. We delay down our lives when we serve without needing any type of recognition. We delay down our lives when we put our spouse's needs above our own preferences. We lay down our lives when we choose holiness over convenience. We lay down our lives when we love difficult people. You might lay down your life a couple times in that particular situation because people that are hard to love is really difficult. But that's what we do. We lay down our lives as a follower of Jesus. We lay down our life to love people who are difficult to love. We lay down our lives when we share the gospel, even when it feels uncomfortable or inconvenient, or you're just too busy or tired, or you're just not feeling it. If you still do it, you're laying down your life. We lay down our lives when we say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Yours be done. 1 John 3:16 says, "This is how we have come to know love. He laid down his life for us. We should also lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters." Now that's pretty direct, right? That's pretty direct. Because Jesus laid out his life for us, we lay down our life for others. Now, sacrificial love is not sentimental. It's not sentimental. It's costly. It's inconvenient. It's a challenge. It's kind of goes against the things that we might think of in our own brain, but it is so critical that we have this sacrificial love for the people in our life and the people that we encounter on a daily basis. It is so important that they see Jesus' love shine through us. It forces you to stop asking, "What do I want?" Instead, start asking, really, "What would Jesus do?" Right? Remember that? WWJD, what would Jesus do? What honors Jesus? So this is where Memorial Day becomes more than just a memory. It becomes a mirror. So are we living only for ourselves? That's the big takeaway question today. Are we living for only ourselves? Are we enjoying freedoms purchased by others, or are we refusing to serve anyone else? Are we receiving grace from Jesus while withholding grace from other people? Are we singing about the cross on Sunday but avoiding any type of sacrifice on Monday? Those are hard questions, but they're necessary questions that you should ask yourself in your quiet time with the Lord. You know, you just get real. I mean, you already know that God already knows it all, right? So, like, lying to him isn't gonna do you any favors, right? He already knows. So just be honest with him. Be like, "God, I'm really struggling in this area. Or God, help me be able to focus a little bit more in this particular area," or whatever. He already knows, so just be honest with him during your quiet time. Gospel doesn't simply save us from hell, it saves us from self. It saves us from ourselves. Jesus didn't die so we could keep living at the center of our own universe. He died and rose again so we could belong to him, and so we could serve him, and so we could serve others in his name. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, "And he died for all, so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised." That's the call. That's the call, to not live for ourselves, but instead live for Jesus, and whatever that looks like in your own life, as long as it's honoring Jesus and as long as it's, you know, doing his will and not your will, that is what is important. And, you know, all the people who have died on the battlefield for us, they answered the call, right? They answered their mission. So we remember them. But let us not forget to also remember Jesus and all that he has done for us. The fallen have died to preserve earthly freedom, and Jesus died to preserve eternal freedom. Eternal freedom. The fallen gave their lives for their country. Jesus gave his life for sinners from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. The fallen are honored because of their sacrifice was so great, and Jesus is worshiped because his sacrifice is so sufficient. So today, if you are a follower of Jesus, be grateful. Be grateful. Live humbly, serve faithfully, and love sacrificially every single day, not just during a 3-day weekend, but every single day. And if you're not in a relationship with Jesus, everything that I just said is still true. You just need to accept this free gift that he has given you. And, you know, when he died on the cross for you and for me, I mean, that is the wildest thing you can think of that somebody would do for somebody else. Like I would encourage you, if you're unfamiliar with how painful death on a cross is. I mean, there's actual, you know, like medical doctors who have studied what this would be like. And many of them say it was actually 100% of them say it was the most excruciatingly painful way to die. And Jesus did that willingly for you and for me, for all of us, for all of humanity, to save the world. Because we needed that eternal freedom. And that was the only way, that is the only way to receive that eternal freedom is by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. John 8:36 says, "So if the Son sets you free, you really will be free." You really will be free. That is 100% fact. The Son sets you free, you will be free. You have to just accept that invitation to be in a relationship with Him. Let us never forget the cost of our national freedom, and certainly let us never forget the cost of our spiritual freedom. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for the men and women who gave their lives for this country. Lord, I pray that you would comfort the families who still feel the weight of that sacrifice. Thank you most of all, Jesus, for laying down your life on the cross so that sinners like us could be forgiven and set free. Lord, help us honor sacrifice not only with our words, but with lives of humility, with gratitude, service, and faithful obedience to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.